All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, Cole, have you ever seen Mrs. Brisby and the Rats of Nim?
Yes. Wait, is that different than just the Rats of Nim?
One's the book and one's the movie.
Okay, yeah.
Get them confused.
Okay, I've seen the movie. I've not read the book. I've also watched videos about the actual study that's based on, like the weird utopia experiments that they did.
Well, I'm glad that you watched videos about it because we bought all the rights to all that stuff.
Oh, cool.
And with all that came a bunch of mice.
Alive or?
Yes, alive. Okay. And on the way out, I asked an intern, I was like, hey, you know, what are we going to do with all these mice? And he started giving me recipes. And I was like, no. Can you just encode the name of a bunch of games into their DNA?
Oh, okay.
You know, so I slipped him a 20.
Yeah, that's probably why some of them look really fucked up. I don't think I mean, there are like letters that are not supposed to be represented in DNA, Gary.
No. Well, he wasn't an intern at the lab. He was just an intern.
Oh, he was just on his way to a different gig. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I think he worked for a marketing firm.
Okay.
Regardless, he gave it his best shot. And I have set one mouse trap, you know, in the garage. And we're going to see, and we're going to unleash all these mice. And whichever the first one to get to it, that'll be the game. We do. It's a humane mousetrap. We're not monsters.
Right.
Then we're just going to let them loose into the neighborhood.
Okay.
To do as they will.
Everybody tuck your pants into your socks.
Yeah. Start a new society.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, no. They've got all these ideas from being in that fucked up experiment. Okay.
Some of them are definitely smarter than us.
Okay.
100%.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So... I'll stand back here. These kind of freak me out a little bit. Just to skosh like a mouse or a rat in captivity, or like you know, when it's not scared is okay for me. But like the rushing, teeming masses of mices gets under my skin quite a bit, actually.
Well, some of these might. They've got a special kind of drill nose.
Oh, it's like those burrowing scarabs from The Mummy. Yeah.
Yes. Very similar. The scarab strain.
Okay.
Well, let's just see which one. There's all one. Right. I can see him kind of struggling in the humane trap.
Okay.
Let's open up the garage and let all the rest of them out. Remember us?
Flee, my friends. Tell your others of our kinds.
Mm-hmm. Breed new kinds of you.
Yeah.
All right, and let's see who's in this little glue trap.
Okay.
He's a cute little fella.
Yeah, cute little fella. Got an ear on his back. Gotta be real quiet. Don't wanna blow on.
Don't deafen him. If you had an ear on your back, wouldn't you rather it be deaf?
I don't know. I don't know that I would want it to be if it's gonna be there, I want it to pull its weight.
I would not want to be able to hear from behind like that.
No?
Yeah, I think it would be very distracting.
I imagine if you're born with it and it's wired in, like you can incorporate it as data for like extra spatial hearing, right? It'd be like having different, you know, going from
like shitty Daredevil.
Yeah, going from 2.1 to like 5.1, right? And you're in your speaker system. It just kind of seems like you know, the only downside would be like being unable to wear a tank top or whatever.
Well, yeah, and if you farted. You know, he's like really loud.
I suppose. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You know, like way louder and you'd hear it in 5.1.
But like, I don't know. It might be interesting to get like earrings and do like ear decoration and stuff. Mm. I don't know that I want to do that with my top ears, but if I just had a bonus ear on the back,
that one you might bling out.
Yeah. That one might be it might be daddy's ear, you know?
Yeah. I would, I think it would be hard to have that sleeping position taken away from me
on your back.
And I guess it wouldn't. Yeah. Cause I guess I sleep on my ears now.
Yeah. You can sleep on.
I just feel like I'd roll over and rip it off or something.
Okay. Yeah. You know? Did you worry about ripping off your ears? Yes. Like your existing ones? Okay.
Yes.
I still get bothered. When I go to get my hair cut and the barber just folds it down, like just really rough with it. Like, no, stop that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever had your ear cut on accident during a haircut?
No.
I've gotten nipped.
I've definitely dreaded it happening, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay, let's check the DNA on this guy.
Yeah. Okay, I'll run the sequencer/game computer. Okay. It says mousetrap/mouse quest.
Yeah, mouse quest.
Okay.
Yeah, this is a weird, this is all right. This is.
Yeah.
My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
Welcome to Abject Suffering. Surprise, motherfuckers. Happy fucking birthday.
Is that a Dexter reference? What is...
I don't know. I was just doing the Dexter voice.
Okay, yeah.
I don't think so. That is my impersonation of somebody who's really spooked out by their new coworker, Dexter.
Something off about that guy.
Yeah, I don't know about him.
A lot less serial killers now that he's around.
And I don't like it.
Ooh.
I miss those serial killers. It's like a barometer for serial killers if you can tell if a Dexter is about.
Oh yeah, yeah,
like it just counts them. You know, it's like, oh, the air's getting a little dextery, like you lick your finger.
Yeah. Serial killers are back on the menu, boys.
Yeah. Dexter just moved to town. Every town gets a Pennsylvania Dexter.
This week we're talking about Mousetrap. This is a game that I have some history with.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. This is just a random one. I played this on the Amiga as a kid, like over at my friend's house. Like, this was like the one game that we could understand how to play. Like, that wasn't like a, you know, barbarian or something like that. That was just a monstrosity. This Police Quest and the strip poker game that we had to make sure nobody else was awake so we could play it.
Bueno, amiga.
Mm.
This is just one of those single screen platformers,
mm-hmm.
you know, that they used to make it. And it is Real Explosion at the Asset Factory.
Yep.
including the name of the game, just kind of like moving around in the background.
Yep.
And there's one really unique monster in it.
Yeah, the nose goblin.
Yes, like the dick nose goblin, like flesh gonzo.
No,
you know, like it'd be like a human with gonzo's shape of his nose,
I do not want to see something in a fleshy gonzo.
You're not interested in flesh gonzo?
No.
What if it was just a regular gonzo covered in human flesh?
Okay.
Like a suit.
like a Buffalo Bill gonzo.
Yeah. What is that? Would that be better?
Okay? No, I think everything from the start, from the jump has been worse than the okay. previous one, Gary.
Yeah. What about a human wearing a gonzo skin?
Oh yeah, no, that's fine. Just like a human in a That'd gonzo right. costume.
PJs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you get a back flap.
Uh-huh.
You know, no. So you go to the bathroom in the middle of the night.
Be real comfy. Yeah. No, I like the idea that just you would have like a gonzo head hoodie, but also the crotch would be gonzo and the nose would be where your penis would go.
Dude, you know that there are underwear like that, right?
What?
With Wish, that website, is constantly showing me underwear that has just like a gonzo sleeve.
Wait a minute.
Dick to hang in.
Okay, but does it have a... Does it have a concurrent one for your balls too? Like, is it
Mm-mm. your balls stay high and tight? Your okay. dick just sticks out of a gonzo hole, a gonzo tube.
What possible advantage does that confer?
I don't know, man. It's like to make it like it's very weird.
Because like, I've heard on I've heard on like podcast ads or like YouTube, like yes, this is a special kind of underwear that has a special pouch for your man bits or whatever. Which that, I mean, I don't know, that makes sense to me. An underwear, like a brief or a boxer brief with a roomy crotch, but like specifically sure. one for your dong. I don't.
Yeah. I'm trying to find a picture of one. Here we are. Check this out, dude.
Okay.
Right. Trust me. This is worth it.
Okay. No. I'm, yeah,
let me make sure I sent it to you and not just a random person on the Slack.
Yeah.
Like
what? No.
Yeah, right?
Why?
Yeah. And this was on Amazon, that one right there. This is just from Google, Maxivus. They're called elephant bulge briefs, but like Wish is always trying to get me into them.
That's implausible.
It's very strange. Huh. And we are talking about some flaccid kings, dude. Like in terms of the stuff, like the ones on
these are showers that are working here. I don't mean to.
This guy has a boner.
Well, yeah, how can you tell? He's holding it out taut.
Well, I guess he could just be stretching it out like a tape measure, but
yeah.
Yeah. So, I felt like the thickness implied a bone.
But very little about this appears real to me. And like I don't want somebody to like triangulate the size of my dick from like my anxieties about these images here.
No. Well, I also don't want to like buy one of these and then have to like
get it taken in,
fitted. Yeah, have a tailor come in and you know with a mouthful of pins and like a tape measure.
Yeah, have your inseam taken up. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't need this specific inseam.
No. I don't see the reason.
You know who's gonna explain this to us? Weep Lord. We're gonna talk about this and then Weep Lord on the Slack is gonna explain the point of these.
Okay.
I bet.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't mean to act a fool talking about utility underwear. My underwear game is extremely basic, so
yeah.
I have not broadened myself to the wider world of this particular utility, this kind of technical garment.
Here's another technical garment that kind of came up in the same complete.
So this is it's American flag like American flag boxer brief, but the crotch gusset, that particular bulge is just a screaming bald eagle head.
I'm really angry.
Yeah,
the name of this underwear is called The Mascot, and then under it the subtitle is American flag ball hammock pouch. The Mascot.
Yeah.
Oh, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Ball hammock helps the family jewels from being crushed in the grundle.
Does that? No, stop that. Yeah, that's some fucking like Dollar Shave Club shit. No.
No.
What?
Check it out. Like a.
Oh, gosh. Gusseted crotch so you can do the splits if you're into that.
God. Ball hammock stops the family jewels from being crushed in the grundle.
We need.
That's an activation phrase. Somebody just is going to go.
Somebody just mixed two vials together that they did not know were in their house. Yeah.
Yes. Like unscrewing panels at O'Hare.
So special pouches. Okay. We need to shut everything down until we can figure out what the fuck is going on with masculinity.
Yeah. This is all just from searching underwear with pouch. So, and I'm getting a lot of a varietal of novelty menswear.
Yeah.
They're very funny. You can get a whole thermal set, like a set of long johns that have the dick space in them. It's just incredible, man.
I love the idea of walking out in those long johns to get your mail.
Just, ma'am, excuse me, neighborhood watch.
You're just wearing nothing but long johns and then just a dickie.
Like your cousin Eddie. It's really... Pretty incredible stuff here.
Yeah,
going on. Yeah, why are these? They're strange to these men.
Yeah, maybe this is a problem with me. Maybe my underwear game is I've not put as much effort into it as I ought to have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I generally don't pay a whole lot of attention. I have nothing comfortable, and then I just stop.
like 10 years ago I found the kind of underwear I like, and I just get the same kind, which is frustrating because when you do that you notice the inconsistencies from batch to batch. It's like, oh yeah, this is, you know, this is quality
assured by Gil.
Wow, fucking quality insurance agent number 42. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah,
fucking it up.
I about said number 47 and I didn't want to send us off on that bit. This is just it's a real basic one screen platformer. I love the different biomes you can go to, like the circus, the picnic. I love the death animation that you can get into, especially if you fall more than a mouse height.
Yeah, that's a big selling point, is that you can fall a little bit but can't fall that much.
Yes.
You know, in this game, which is very funny.
Just a very particular distance. But yeah, when you die, you turn into a little skeleton. That's great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was sure this would be like a sponsored episode.
Yeah.
of somebody who had history with this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I was just kind of like, oh, like this is real Asset Factory, but mm-hmm. there's not a whole lot to it.
No.
Yeah, I had a hard time finding information about this.
Yeah. I did find, so this was developed by a company called Tynesoft, T-Y-N-E-S-O-F-T. And apparently this was a big kind of fly by night, but also like weirdly massive, publisher of like microcomputer games over in, the UK. You know, so like they did a little bit of like republishing things for certain systems that, you know, were published by other people elsewhere. By doing a search, I found like just this page that has like a list of things that happened at the company, things like this. Mm-hmm. So like Gary Partis used to show off his martial arts prowess all the time. One day while jumping and spinning, he jumped into the frame of a door. He was unconscious for at least 5 minutes. So we have this list of antics from this place that seems like a nightmare to work at. I don't want to cut right to the ending, but there are allegations in this kind of like anonymous document, allegations that somebody either burned the place down or hired an arsonist to burn the place down.
Yeah, one of the photo galleries is called Help Fire.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, a photo gallery on a webpage is not the best way to ask for help. No.
Like the cache is going to have to refresh. Like you have to like bank on somebody.
Part of the fire department web ring.
But I mean, like any realistic, like any fire department is going to have a Google alert for Help Fire, right? Fire. There you can get that email.
Also, all the pictures of this are incredible. Every single person in this looks like they're in the band Men at Work. No joke. Like all these people are in the background of the Overkill video. Like,
yeah,
just wandering around. It's the most Men at Work looking dorks I've ever seen in my life.
Just a very particular kind of 80s dork. Wow. Yeah. Oh my God. The curly hair and mustache on this guy.
Mm-hmm.
You're just gonna put that here for you.
No, I've got all the images open. Hook me up though, because I'm always looking for more Tynesoft. He looks like a young Alex Trebek mixed with Alex Winter from.
Oh Bill yeah, just can you give me an Alex mix up?
Yeah, the DNA of various the two most famous Alexes.
Yeah,
Trebek and Winter. Also, one of the guys looks like Billy Mitchell.
Oh, he does. That's just a look, though. I think that there's just like a strain of people. There must just be a family of Billy Mitchells. No, I'm thinking of mm-hmm. David Mitchell is what I'm thinking of. Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, this is a kind of guy.
The comedian. Just a kind of person. Yes.
Yeah. The little blonde guy with the mustaches in this group shot as well, looking mm-hmm. way more sinister.
Yeah. A little
there's something about the shading on his mustache makes it look like he's his mouth open. He has no teeth. Like he's doing a Popeye, like toothless smile.
Yeah, no, like his lip is just a little bit, is just a little bit too low, and it's like casting a shadow on the teeth. A little known thing about Tynesoft was that when they went bust, an arsonist struck and burnt the building down. We all know who did it or paid to have it done, but it was never proved. I always remember turning up after the fire brigade had left and seeing some remaining stock. When you were a child, did you ever put a crisp packet in the oven, watch it shrink, and then take it out? You get a tiny crisp packet, but perfectly formed, just like the stock of blue floppy disks in the warehouse. All I can say is the suspect walked like a penguin, and that's enough for most of the staff to know who I mean.
Yeah.
He walked like a penguin, Gary.
There's also the second page of this, the Tynesoft Boys Club Part 2,
mm-hmm.
Which talks about the kind of secret stuff that is only if you are, you know, sensitive.
Yeah, right.
So one of the artists got drunk and masturbated his dog because it was his dog's birthday. That says,
no,
don't like
no,
that.
No.
Yep.
Okay.
No, don't like that. That's no good.
That's not a thing
and
you
then,
do.
One programmer, while having it off with his wife, managed to snap the skin that goes from the back of the penis to the foreskin. After being treated at the hospital, he made the mistake of confiding in another member who told all the rest of the staff, and he was known as Snapper after that.
No. Wait a minute. Dave Croft had a dog, which he sometimes had to take to work. One day at Shadow over the boss's office in a panic, he hid the chunks in the drawer. They weren't discovered for days. This sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah, well, the website is called Stairway to Hell.
Yes, okay.
You know, it is. I think it's you know, it's for bad things.
Yes. Happening.
Is this whole website just Tynesoft, or is this guy just like fuck you Tynesoft corner?
I don't know. Like his informants for this defunct company. Tynesoft needed a loan to stay afloat, and the bank manager came around to see the operation. Unfortunately, he wanted to see what one of the artists was doing. The guy was only about 17 and suffered from a similar condition to Tourette's syndrome, the thing where you uncontrollably spit and swear. When he asked, "What are you working on?" he replied, "What's it got to do with you, you effing C-word?" Well, at least didn't spit at him. Needless to say, we never got the loan and the guy got sacked.
Yeah. This Stairway to Hell website is kind of great. It's like a BBC Micro and Electron Game Archive fan site that is like frozen. It's like very like, you know, it's great.
Well, you can tell
because it has a book, you know, coming out about this stuff. Acorn, A World in Pixels.
Yeah.
Page upon page of classic games showcasing the visual style of the era.
Oh, this is a nice, like, well put together book. Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
this has a big CRPG book.
Yeah. No, you can place an order for this. It's now in stock. Read more.
Nice.
Oh, it's only like it's reasonably priced too for like a hardback. Fuck, dude.
Damn it. We're gonna be supporting this guy.
I don't think he does bad work. I just think that article's real weird. But you can tell exactly when this like the site was like frozen, because like the banner image has two little fire gifs next to it.
Love those.
Love it.
God, more of that stuff, please.
Yeah,
that's the good shit.
Yeah, but this ended. This ended in the 1st of April of 2010. So, but
back
it is
in the day.
It is going on. But yeah, you can get like cover scans and stuff like that. Neat.
Yeah. Nice. Where game going? I did not play this for very long. I got to the I get it.
Yes.
Pretty quick, honestly. Mm-hmm. I was just like, oh, single screen platformer. Where you have to collect all the doodads before you leave. Like, I can understand this being appealing as a kid, you know, because it's not complicated.
Yeah.
Unlike a lot of Amiga or computer games. But it also, you know, I got bored pretty fast.
Yeah, yeah. There are a couple of other things here. So the designer of this, the programmer, a guy named Brian Jobling. Okay, he's got a Moby Games. What is ridiculous about this to me is he was CEO at the company that made Ride to Hell Retribution.
That's interesting.
Yeah. He was managing director for Big Mother Truckers, managing director on MTV Pimp My Ride. Like, this guy, like, just has been careening around and working on games that could possibly be abject suffering fodder.
Okay. Good, yeah. Good to know.
Yes.
For the future.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Never played an Amiga. What tangents we got going on? Well, there's a game facts thing.
There
to do
is
before
yeah.
we can tangent.
Yes.
There's only one post on the message board,
and it appears to be like a prastic practice. There we go. Post for like a role play. Somebody describing their original character Cruaresco.
Yeah, Cruaresco, who has a slender yet fairly muscular body similar to all Quioras.
I'm gonna figure out
but
who
an installer.
But an Okor. We have to make sure. Yes.
Yeah. You know, skin was a basic Caucasian white, but around the body, various areas changed color to red to look similar to bleeding all the way to the ground.
Huh. Okay, so Okuiora Cipher is a character in the anime Bleach.
Okay. So
yeah.
this is some Bleach fan fiction.
Yeah.
Is a Spada related to Bleach?
I believe so.
That's gonna happen if I Google that.
Yeah, Crore is so there is no like wiki page for Cruaresco. So this definitely is somebody describing their roleplay character.
Yeah, and a Spada is from Bleach as well.
Gotcha.
The Spanish word for sword. It's the top ranked something something in Bleach.
Right. So. Never. Yeah, just I know nothing about Bleach. Just other than it has a weird name.
This character has a lot of powers.
Of course it does.
Both jaws boast both 10 teeth. Four where the molars are, two where the premolars are, two where your canine teeth are, and the last ones where the incisor would be. These quote-unquote teeth, however, aren't really teeth. They're cylindrical and don't separate between the top and bottom jaw. Croresco can separate the teeth at will, although they serve little purpose besides being part of his mask.
That sounds like hell. He can't open his mouth?
He can. They can't be separated, but he can open them at will.
Okay.
Like, come on, Mahadevi.
Yeah. Why are you posting this here? Why is this called quick post?
Yeah. It's not a quick post.
Yeah. No, it's several this paragraphs. Is a long
post. Yeah. This is a very long post.
His Zen Pacto is always seen to be absolutely nowhere. There's only one way for him to reveal it, and he really has to be forced into the situation anyways. So I guess that's like an ultimate move or something like that.
Yeah. I don't know. The just finding out this was from Bleach immediately drained everything from me.
Yes.
Like, I thought this was original weirdness, and now I couldn't care less. It's
right.
It's like when you go to a convention and like you see somebody dressed up as something kind of interesting.
Oh, and you find out it's a Homestuck. Yeah.
Or it's a League of Legends.
Uh huh.
Yeah. Well, this is just one of the Dotas.
Uh huh.
That they're fighting. Like, I don't know what it is, but okay.
Yeah.
You know, and it just like ruins it. Like, oh, that looked kind of neat, but now I don't care.
Yeah, no. Like,
oh, this is a Fortnite character? Fuck this.
Yeah, because like me being interested in this and learning more about it just means that I have to like settle into an existing fan ecosystem. Like, fuck.
Way too much commitment.
Yeah. Don't like that one bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Huge bummer. It just kind of drains it. You know, like there's a lot of there's that feeling that happens in real life like all the time where like you think something is original weirdness and it turns out to be just like a reference or just something you don't get.
Yeah.
You know, that's a bad feeling.
I don't care for that.
You know, I remember when I got fooled by Ding Dong, It's Me, the Dear Big Weird Man.
Yeah, no, that was like a running meme for a whole duck stream. The ding dong, it's the weird man. And you come to find out it's not a Big Bopper song. It's a joke Big Bopper song somebody made.
Yeah. It's a great song and it's still funny.
I brought a ham. Yeah.
Yeah. I brought a ham. But, you know, it's just, it makes it a little worse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, real things are always going to be better.
Yeah.
You know, with this kind of shit.
But also, you don't want to be the guy who, in a funny thread on Twitter, says, oh, this is obviously fake.
Shop.
Yeah.
Shop. Big shop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those people are killjoys.
It is a fine line that you ride.
Yeah. I just like it when stuff's real.
Yes. Definitely does bring a little bit more, but very little is real anymore.
Yeah. We live in a post-reality world.
Yep.
In this TED Talk, I will...
Yeah. Oh, man. You ever had a cat catch a mouse?
No.
No?
No. I haven't seen very many mice in real life other than, like, pet stores.
Mm. Yeah.
I see rats a lot, like, on the street. Like, living in a city, every once in a while, there'll just be, like, a rat.
Yeah.
You know? Not a lot, but just every once in a while.
No, I've only, like, you know, we get, like, field mice out here in the country. Literal country mice. But, like, you know, you never see them. You only ever see them moving out of the corner of your eye, you know, because they're really good at staying hidden. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But no, I just like Dottie, my kitten, loves carrying her toys around in her mouth.
Okay.
And it's adorable to have her carry her toys around because she wants her toys to be where she is. It's cute. But you'll see it out of the corner of your eye and you'll think, oh, God, did she get an animal? Am I going to have to deal with this mess? Mm-hmm. Like, and I kind of exist in fear of, like, if she actually eats a mouse, like, do I take her to the vet to get her checked for parasites? Like, I don't know. I don't know what the process is for this.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I've never had it happen. I've only read about it happening.
No.
I'm glad it hasn't happened. I did watch Rory's at one point, like, grab a moth the size of my thumb and eat it in one bite.
Oof.
Which was the closest for seeing that happen. And just look me right in the eyes while I did it. Like,
did that change your relationship with him, knowing that he had it in him?
It was just incredible. I was just like, man, buddy.
Yeah.
And then one time a bird got in to our house and I had to like lock Roars up because I was very scared of him killing the bird.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
I've never had any experience with that. I love it when animals will do that with things that aren't animals. Like a cat will bring you a leaf. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
cool, thanks.
Yeah, thanks. Like, that.
Thanks,
yeah.
Buddy. Yeah, uh-huh. Good leaf. Yeah. Should I put this on the fridge? Like, what do I do?
You know, like, I don't know what my obligation in this interaction is. And like,
what are you looking for?
Yeah. Well, cat. like neither does another animal, because like Dottie will bring Greta toys as gifts. Like, she'll walk up to it and like drop it in front of her, and Greta's just like, okay, and then she turns and walks away.
I've seen that.
Yeah.
I don't care.
No.
I'm not impressed by you, Dottie.
Yes.
No. They
doesn't
get along.
Matter. Oh yeah, they get along. They don't really they never seriously fight. They just mm-hmm. they'll do like play fights and stuff. Greta is extremely patient with Dottie, who is always hunting her, is always hunting Greta's tail, is the thing.
Mm.
But yeah. Yeah, no, they'll lay together in bed and stuff like that. Like, it's so actually
they
pretty
cuddle and stuff.
Yeah, they cuddle. It's good. And it started with Greta grooming Dottie, and now Dottie grooms Greta.
The hunter has become the hunted.
Well, yeah, they just do, you know, sneak up on each other and like try to pin each other down and do licks. Yeah.
Yeah. Secret grooms.
It's pretty, it's actually pretty fucking adorable.
I like to walk up behind people at the store and clean their neck a little bit with an old toothbrush.
You know, sometimes you forget, like, just you think, yeah. Okay, yes. Especially if you have like a little bit of long hair, you were scruffy. It's like quarantine, you know, back of your neck, mm-hmm. you know, your nape there. It's a little funky. Yeah. It isn't just an old toothbrush, just a soft, soft bristled mm-hmm. toothbrush.
I soft it there up on my teeth.
So just over the course of a couple of years. And then while you're on the hunt as well, so people can hear the mm-hmm. telltale of the brushing. And then you just whip out a little fanny pack full of No More Tears. You dip it in there mm-hmm. and then you get up behind somebody and you give them a little brushing.
Secret room.
Yeah.
With the idea that eventually I'll go to the store and they'll do it to me.
Right, right. You're just trying to start a thing. You're sending it out in the world. What goes
Pay
around comes
forward.
Around. Yes. If we all just wash each other's necks.
The secret.
That's exactly the how secret the secret works.
I wash your neck.
Uh-huh.
Without you knowing it. With an old toothbrush.
The secret is there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah. The secret is I numb it first so you can't feel it.
Yeah. You'll feel what seems like a mosquito bite, but nope. That's the numbing
agent.
That's the
mosquito
dart.
Mosquito delight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I can tell that I'm a little tired. Like I keep waking up and so I'm trying to stay up late to prepare for this weekend.
Right. Because it's before duck stream's coming up. Yeah.
So usually I have this really long run up before we record, but I've been like waking up basically right before we record.
Right.
So I can stay up late. Mm-hmm. Makes my head feel like I'm it's full of sand, and I can tell that I'm like tired and having a hard time because, you know, sometimes when I want to digress us into something, I don't know if anybody's noticed this, but like one of the tricks is I'll just be like, never. And they'll just say whatever the thing is.
Yeah.
And I almost just legit just said to you, you ever wash your neck?
Most days yeah. I try to get up there.
No, me too. That's why I didn't say it. You know, but I almost just said it because I was just like, okay, got to keep the conversation
going. Yeah,
I'm so tired. I feel like my head is filled with wax.
Uh-huh.
You know, so you, I almost you, just like started a conversation about neck washing.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, like it's a weird thing.
Yeah. No, you haven't, you know, like when you're water skiing, there's the point before you break the plane, you know, where you're mm-hmm. just going to be dragged through the water. Yeah. You're still being dragged through the water here. You're not up on your skis yet.
Yeah. 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 It's very strange.
Yeah.
You know, trying to keep that momentum up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You got to keep the ball in the air.
Where do you think the least washed part of your body is?
Oh, man, I try to hit. I try behind my ears, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I try to hit everywhere. I think that when I stopped, when I started shampooing less, I think that behind my ears started to suffer from that.
Mm.
To a certain extent, because you're getting less suds up there, and, you know, maybe like a little bit of water, but like everywhere else, I try and be very very fastidious. And when you have a handheld shower head, which I recommend for everybody, like just fucking mm-hmm. game changer, the handheld shower head with the multiple spray patterns and stuff. There's really no excuse not to hit everywhere. Yeah.
What do you do? You, I mean, do you like bottom of the feet?
Yeah. Yeah.
Between the toes?
I mean, I, not specifically, no.
Yeah. So those are the areas I think I don't get to.
Oh, between the toes? Yeah.
Yeah. Between the toes, bottom of the feet.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's okay. Mm-hmm. I don't want to slip and fall and like crack my brain open.
No, no. And you don't want to put down those little flowers on your, in your bathtub because those are hard to clean.
Because I'm not 90, you know? So like that's, I mean, that's the other reason.
Yeah.
Like I'm halfway there.
Right. That's something
you can give me for my, for my platinum anniversary or whatever.
No, you're not going to, you're not going to declare defeat just yet.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. That might be all the mousetrap stuff I got, man.
I almost
just asked, you know, like, yeah, I'm sorry, everybody. I'm not, you know, low energy. I'm just tired.
No, it's fine. It's fine. I did my pet digression there, but yeah.
Yeah. No, pet digressions are good. Uh-huh. Pocket went to the vet. And the vet, do you have that thing that happens when the vet says something nice about your cat and you feel real good?
Oh, of course. Like, yeah.
Way, way more than I ever do if somebody feels something about me. Like the vet called me and the first thing, so I drugged him because he's usually a hellion at the vet. And the last time they gave him me cat drugs to give him, and he goes like really calm.
Uh-huh.
And the vet, it was a new vet. And she's like, just finished with Pocket. He is so effortlessly beautiful.
Ooh.
And I just like was like beaming with pride. I was just he is so effortlessly beautiful.
Yeah.
And then like, you know, somebody could call me beautiful all day and I'd be like, what?
Yeah, but I know. Yeah. No. But what do you want, you know, from me? Like,
yeah. Yeah. Like, what's your angle? Yeah, you trying to brush my neck? Yeah. I would not, but yeah, I was just kind of this like, he is effortlessly beautiful.
Yeah.
They also trimmed his nails in the front so he doesn't have as much power. And that's great.
Yeah.
Because the power imbalance is kind of restored to the apartment. And he still has the back.
Right.
Back claws. But the front claws, it's just.
The back claws are harder to deploy is the thing. Yeah.
Yeah. He's going to have to learn. Also, a really weird thing, because before he had those claws, he had his full claws. When he would pat around this house, as a hardwood floor. I used to have carpeting. So you could hear him tap. For the first like couple of weeks, you hear him tap around.
Right, right.
And then he like silenced himself.
Mm-hmm.
Like even with his long claws, he figured out how to walk silently.
Ooh.
And I wonder now that he doesn't have the claws, if he has to like adjust again.
Oh, if he has to relearn. Or if he can just walk with a little bit less effort.
With his old gait.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. No, one point, I think it was like the second or third time I took Greta into the vet. She said something like, I have no idea what it means, but I took it as a compliment anyway. She said, I bet you she's a really empathetic cat. And aww. I said, yes.
Yeah.
Because like,
and I mean, cats like, will nurse you and be nice and stuff.
Yeah. Like if I've been down or if I've been sick, like, you know, Greta's definitely, you know, gets a little bit more cuddly. Or maybe that's just confirmation bias. Maybe she's always cuddly and I just appreciate it more when she does it. I think maybe vets are just trained to like butter you up, like to say something about your, or maybe they actually like can see stuff in your animal because they're trained professionals and they see a lot of them.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know why I'm suddenly getting paranoid about vets.
Well, they're out to get us.
Oh, they are. Yes.
So, yeah, that's why we can't allow them to Congress and their administration.
No, no.
So thanks everybody for listening to this. We appreciate you.
Yeah.
If you like the show, head on over to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. You can request an episode. You can put in a suggestion for one on our regular website. Mm-hmm. You can get bonus episodes, all those things. It's great.
It is a good time. You can leave ratings and reviews on Apple Podcasts. All of that is greatly appreciated. This is After Duck Stream. So if you watched, thank you. If you didn't, you can go and check the VOD. And I assume it went well. Let us pretend it will not be a disaster. Yes.
Yes. I think it'll probably go.
It'll probably be just fine. It's just a bunch of streaming. Yeah. What could go wrong?
Yeah. What is this, fucking rocket scientist?
Yeah.
You know, we're fine. So we're going to do our best.
Yeah.
We appreciate you. What should they do until next time, Cole?
Yeah, well, until next time, like our friend on Twitter, Baron Aim, always says, this is not for you.